Today is a very special day. I don't believe that it's special just for Pastor Mitch and Jasper and their family. I believe it's special for our church family. God has done tremendous things in the last decade. We arrived here on December 1st, the first Sunday. There's a little less than 30 people. And the church was just pray that God had a plan. I remember the first time that Melinda and I need to pray. I don't cry. Both of us had tears in our eyes. I knew that God had called. Him, he felt like bring loving, faithful, wonderful people to join us to see the restoration of this body. I believe that that's God's call on us. I want to give Pastor Riley and Sister Helen. Believing things not because any individual person, but because God has a plan and He invites us to join Him in that. So we're very excited to come for what today. I want to make sure that you understand that I love this person. I want to still do everything I can to help minister in this body. God's called Melinda and I to do some things that are out of our comfort zone. We're going to come alongside Pastor Melvin today. Next Sunday, we're going to be in Valdez with Daniel and Sally, and we're going to take them a new vacuum cleaner because we get the vacuum cleaner. Wednesday night, we took an offering towards that. If you have an offering and you'd like to keep towards blessing them while we're there, we're going to come alongside the pastors and churches around the state. The mandate that they gave me is that every church should have a healthy pastor, every church should be healthy. That's my heart. And also, some people have to plan to go to Pakistan, Lord willing. I'm seeing what God's going to continue to do. Last time we were there, we had over 20,000 people in the one cruise. So there's 15,000 people. I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching and preaching on Zoom in Pakistan, but once a year, I'm going to go to the ministry. So God has many things ahead for us. At this time, I'm going to invite Pastor Mitch and Pastor Mitch and Jasper to come forward. This is going to be a lot of fun for me because I'm going to be talking directly to them today. This is a great moment in the history of the church. It gave me a vision and a dream at night of revival coming to our family. And I believe with all my heart it's going to bring revival to our family. Amen. In that dream, I saw not only a church, but multiple churches all through the valley, and that God was taking the valley, and that God was taking the valley, like a mountain was a picture of the valley. And God told me that the mountains were the churches that were floating with His breath and His mercy and His love. And I believe from that, said that the revival is going to sweep us. So we have work to do. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and talk about several things today. I'm going to talk about the mantle. I'm going to talk about the present. I'm going to talk about the present. I'm going to talk about the challenge. Those were things today. Last week, I just want to touch on last week if you want to hear it. We looked at Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. In those chapters, we see a great transition in the church. Jesus was ascended to heaven, and he commanded the church to go to Jerusalem and to receive the baptism of the Father or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we know that we're being in the transition, and God has great things ahead. We know that for all to happen, that we know God's plan. When God brings you into transition, church, it's because of that prayer. Like with me, our church is going to have a prayer to reach God to see that revival come. But our church is also going to have a fresh passion to be kingdom builders, to come alongside other churches around our state, and to see that revival come around our state and around our nation and around the world. That's the mandate I believe God has. If you know that in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 from last week, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you." But we recognize we need the Holy Spirit. We're not going to accomplish God's plan outside of being empowered by His Spirit. We can't do it. So Jesus said to them, "They're receiving power when the Holy Spirit come upon them." And he says, "You shall be witnesses to Israel." All of us are called to be witnesses. We're called to be witnesses for the life-changing power of the cross and what Jesus accomplished. Amen. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And when you embrace Him and follow Him and surrender your heart and life to Him, then you become a witness for Him. And when you welcome the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to fill your heart and life, church, then you're empowered to be the greatest witness you can be. And that's what Jesus was telling the church. And then he said, "When you become witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is in kingdom. He never intended for the church just to remain focused on their community. He's going to empower us with the Holy Spirit so that we can reach our community. It's our first priority. We're going to love people into life in Jesus. But then we're going to step out and focus on others around us. And it's going to continue to spread out from there until we're impacting the entire world. That's the message. And God's calling our church to take up that mandate as we can, right here in the valley, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. Amen? So let's look at these four things. First of all, I want to talk to you about the mantle. This is going to be my mantle today. This is a prayer shawl for me. The mantle is mentioned 32 times in Scripture. And in the natural, a mantle was a garment, a cloak, a covering. But in spiritual, a mantle is the call of God, the charge of God, the ministry of God, and the anointing of God. We see that in God's word. I just want to look at two quick examples. First of all, Moses and Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, "Now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him, so the children of Israel needed him, and did what the Lord commanded Moses. Before Moses ascended to Mount Nebo, at the transition of his ministry to Joshua, he laid hands on his assistant Joshua, and God's Spirit fell upon him along with the mantle of the prophet that God gave him. Today, in a few minutes, we're going to lay hands on Mitch and Jasper. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to bless them. We're going to pray for them. Because they can't do this job without God's presence, His wisdom, His Spirit, His guidance, His anointing. The next example I want to see is Elijah and Elisha. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 17 and 21, we read that he departed from there and met the Elisha, who was plowed to a great yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the Lord. Then Elijah comes by him and threw his mantle on him. So Elisha came back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and burned his flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and followed Elijah, and became his servant. Elijah ascended to God at the end of his ministry. He dropped his mantle on the ground, and Elijah and picked it up. And the Spirit, the same power of God's Spirit was upon Elijah, that came upon Elijah. I love this, that Elijah is a number of miracles. Because we're encouraged to pray for a double growth. Amen. In this biblical situation, Pastor Mitch, today, a mantle will fall upon you in the spiritual realm. It will represent the calling of God, the ministry, and the anointing of God. And it's my prayer that you will fall supersede the calling of God. Challenge of God's ministry of God's anointing on my life. I've seen God do great things. I've seen God's miracle. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God set people free. I've seen God heal brokenheartedness. I've seen God restore broken down and hurt. We're going to pray for them in just a moment. The second thing is the appointment. Israel's first king, King Saul, was appointed to lead. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15 says, "Now the Lord appointed Samuel in his fear the day before Saul came, saying, 'Tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me.' So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'There is the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people.'" Saul's appointment was to lead the people of God and to save them from the enemy. And I challenge you, Mitch and Jasper, today, to let this congregate deeply to the things of God, save everybody before. To be a congregation that hungers for the Word of God. A congregation that is never satisfied with the purpose they reach in their walk with Jesus. But they're always desiring greater things. They always want more. They always let God prepare for them to see greater things through them. God is blessed with his breath in Saul to come to the temple. God takes Saul from pride, tribulation, and hardship to disappointment. God protects Saul from evil for disappointment. Nothing or no one could protect Saul from disappointment when the Saul's disappointment came from Almighty God. Today represent the appointment. I have the Bible that I want to present to Mitch. This Bible was my grandfather Mitchner's, who pastored several different churches in Oklahoma and Texas. He also received a miracle in his life when he was dying of tuberculosis. I've heard this story many times. He was dying of tuberculosis. He was quarantined away from his family. No one could be around him. He was in his 20s. And he was dying. He knew hemorrhaging blood became a bug in the streets of Tulsa. He didn't know God, he didn't have any reference for God in his past. He said, God is the God, I want to know you before I die. And he heard some music. And he kept walking down the alley. And he heard the music coming from a church. He didn't know what church it was, but he was led to that music. When he got to the Assembly of God Church, he walked in, not knowing why. Going to happen, probably with the anticipation of being turned away because he was a burden. But the pastor heard from the Lord, and God told him in a similar situation to Samuel here, but God told him the day before that somebody was going to walk in. So the pastor was ready, and when he saw his grandfather walking through those doors, he invited him to come forward. And he told him about Jesus and left my grandfather to Christ. And then he prayed for him that God would heal him. And God immediately and miraculously, fully and completely healed him of tuberculosis. And he also said about my grandfather had left a little baby son, his wife, and home, who was quarantined away from them. But when God told him, he went back. And it was after that that my father was born. Mitch's grandfather. So whenever you see Pastor Mitch up here, an awesome God. So I'm giving this Bible that your great-grandfather was called in the ministry. The little New Testament was written by the great-grandfather. Jimmy Collins, who became a pioneer of two different churches in the Dallas area. He's also president of Southwestern Assembly of God University for 15 years. The neat, unique thing about this testament is that there's a person in the very front of it, a grandmother standing by another woman named Ruth Piper. And Ruth Piper was a lady that they met meeting in Chicago in 1928. And in this meeting, Ruth was chosen completely deaf. The bartender appeared to be able to hear what exists. But in this meeting, she was grateful, and God miraculously healed her as she began to hear. And my grandparents were astonished because at the time they were a church in a denomination that didn't believe in the miraculous healing of God. So my grandfather went to her and he said, I want you to prove this. He went and talked to her doctor. The doctor said, yes, he's never been able to hear. And yes, now he can hear. So his family, from just believing the good salvation in Jesus Christ, which is the greatest miracle of all. But I believe along with that, Jesus said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and by my stripes you were healed. So the whole New Testament is a picture of the appointment of your grandfather. Now, there is a beautiful appointment. And finally, this is for my Bible. This is for the only ones that I have currently. There are thousands of messages of. And I'm going to do that picture. Sitting on my ship because we come unbound and we were born. But last year, I was compelled to send it off and had it rebound. And after I had it rebound, I went back to it. Every once in a while, out of it, pulled it. And they want to borrow. Bible has been bothered. The appointment that God put on my life. You know, I'm currently in this ministry. Let you know that I went to Southwestern, but I was actually a minor in my major. Focus at the time was to go into business and be a businessman that made money and supported the business. And God changed all of that one. I find it very confusing because when I first asked Melinda out of Bible school, so the first question she asked me was, you're not going to be a teacher. I don't want to date a priest. I don't want to marry a priest. Being honest, and I said, well, I'm not going to be a preacher, I'm going to be a businessman. And for a few years of our marriage, but then God called me one day, and I told my dad and my mother, and my dad said, oh, son, you're going to start. And my mother said, I first told her, son, you don't have the personality to be a pastor. I was always in the back of the class. I never liked to be in front of anybody. I didn't want to get my report You know, I didn't have to speak in front of anyone. She knew that. She was a teacher herself. So she was being honest. I didn't have the personality to be a pastor, but what was amusing, the first time she had her and dad, both of them said that through my mouth open for them. And that's not you, son. No, it's not. It's Jesus. So I'm going to give Mitch this other Bible. It represents four generations of men and women that have been appointed and called to preach the gospel. When Mitch was up, I never told him he could be a preacher. I never called him to be a preacher. Because I've seen the homes of pastors on and well, it was just their time to go into the family. But if you go into preaching the family business, not easy. You have to go with a call of God on your life. And know without a doubt what happens, because there's going to be ups and downs and difficulties. And you have to know that God's on the throne, that He's called to do this, He's going to provide and take care of you, and that it takes all the assurance on your life to keep going through the difficult times. So, when he graduated from high school, we talked to him about what he was going to do. And with our hope, we encouraged him to go to Bible school for at least 2 years. And so we did that. And I said, we're going to study. I said, I love God first. I want to study the Word of God. I want to get a degree in biblical studies. Okay. So we have to touch the business world. I still didn't know that God had called me. But after he graduated from 4 years of biblical study, he was kind of at a end, and he said, Mom, Dad, what do you think we ought to do? I don't have any direction really right now. And I said, well, you love me. How about going to Christ for the Nations and going through their work? And so after, yeah, I'm going to. Then he came back to Alaska in Anchor Point and began helping us with the work. And I still didn't know that he was going to be called a pastor or called a minister. But I saw a little clue about, you know, the years. I never thought, but God took his life, his appointment. God's taken him through every trial for this appointment. God protected him from the evil of this world for this appointment. Why? Because God is appointing. This appointment comes from God. So, Pastor Mitch, today, you will step into your mind. I want us to look upon. The first thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, the scripture says, do you not know that both run in a race, all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, the two a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty that I fight, not with one who beats the other, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself ministry to come this fall. One of the things I can truly and honestly say, I've known hundreds and hundreds of pastors. I've never encountered one with more integrity. I've never encountered one that has been to worship the Lord, to lead others to worship, to teach people about God's Word. And so, today, I'm going to pass the baton to him. And I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. It says, therefore, also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Pastor, I thought ministry was a sprint. And I was young, way back then, and quite a bit of faith. And I was in a ministry, and I was going to see Jesus transform the world. And I jumped in wholeheartedly and ran to Brickwell. As I matured, I didn't think about ministry as a sprint any longer. I kept viewing it as a marathon. Every day I was going to get up, and I was going to go, and I was going to run. I was going to do my part. And then something, you know. But now, with my whole and many more years, I recognize that ministry is not a sprint or a marathon. It's real. And when you think about real, what's the most important aspect of a real? The potential. We've all seen it. We've seen the Olympics and seen teams that were winning, but then they crumbled the top and then losing the race. So today we pass Pastor Mitch the baton. It's a very special time. The baton in the spirit began in the nail-scarred hands of our Savior. And over the years, he passed the baton to the early church. And then the early church passed the baton down to men and women of God who love the Lord and the gospel of the gospel. And today, the baton is being passed to that bitch. For the baton, it's a little like the book of the shepherd's staff for Israel. And a shepherd doesn't push the sheep. He loves the sheep. And he protects the sheep. When the enemy comes in, then he's ready for the enemy. Amen? And that's the charge for Pastor Mitch and Jasper. That they'll lead you to deeper and greater things than our church has ever experienced before. And at the same time, they're going to be pushing back the darkness that is in the gate for you, praying for you. Coming alongside of you in difficult times, and then we're going to do what we can to make sure that the enemy is held away. Because God has great plans for this church. At this time, I want to ask our deacons and their wives and our elders and their wives to come forward. I'm just going to give our elders and before we lay hands and pray on Mitch. share something to this girl.
Pastor Mill, as you pass the mantle and the anointing down to your son, the Lord is placing a new anointing. And doors are going to open that have never been opened to you before. This will not be a time of rest for you, Melinda. You will begin to do things that you never thought possible or that you would be able to do. Pastor Mitch, the Lord wants to bring to your remembrance the word that we had for you at prayer about the new shoes for you. They are new shoes. They are not your father's shoes, but they are on the same foundation. And the Lord says, don't forsake the foundation, Jasper and Mitch, that I have placed you on. For it is solid, it is good, and it is strong. And many new things are going to happen. And you're going to have great new opportunities. And I'm going to speak to you at strange times. You are going to be speaking to someone, and I'm going to whisper in your ear direction and leading and guidance and protection. Because I will protect you, because I have placed this anointing on you. And Jasper, you are going to begin to operate in new opportunities. You are going to begin to operate in ways that you have not before. And you are going to feel a strength that you have never felt before. And the congregation is going to know this is from God and this is not from God.
I think I almost got the same thing Mary did, but Milt, and as you spoke last week, greater things. You will go forward with the strength of the Lord and the gentleness of the shepherd to strengthen those that need to be, and whatever that is. You will have twofold ministry to empower those that need to be empowered and to encourage those that need to. And also, God, that God has enlarged your borders just as to this prayer that you will have that same prayer. And one of the things from Jabez' prayer is that you will bless me. Mitch, just as God has called your dad to a new place, he has also called you to a new place. He will be going into the news that he has prepared especially for. And the other day I saw Jasper in the Valerie, and that is how God has called you to do that dancing, to lay before the Lord and worship him, and to dance like a ballerina for the Lord. But the match he has called you to, this is not a time for mourning or fear, but a time of joy for God. He wants you to taste and see the word of God. From the scripture of Psalm 34:8, it says, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And it says, taste and see the word of God. You know, sometimes we taste new things, they're different, but God is going to guide you to those things that He wants you to do.
Yeah. No.
we are a kind of newcomers to the church. But when we came, we knew this was the Bible church. So grateful. And we're so grateful for the new ministry you have, because we came from a church in another state, and this church was in a different kind of situation, oddly connected to the district, to the native church. And we were alone. We were alone for all those years in this difficult thing. I'm thrilled that the church is going to receive your ministry. It's desperately needed. I came here, Mitch. I put my best friend. I'm in tears every Sunday with the worship. I thank you for your leadership and worship. And I thank you for your sermons, because they speak to the mind as well as the heart. And that's important to me. I just want to bless you both. I'm looking forward to Jasper, the first lady of the church. And you have a large role already, being a young mother and a young wife. So we'll be praying for you. God's undergirding will be there.
But I want to challenge our church. I'm so thankful we help one another. We're friendly. For years, I've heard time and time again, if you don't know how that's blessed my heart, because everyone needs to be friendly. I challenge you to continue. If Melinda and I challenge you to follow. If you love Melinda and I, please love Pastor Mitch. If you've been faithful and loyal to Melinda and I, be faithful and loyal to Pastor Mitch. If you have got the unity and the anointing on Melinda and my lives, please God. If you're gracious to Linda and I, please be gracious to Pastor Mitch. Because of you. And finally, as you've partnered with us in reaching the world for Jesus, please partner with Pastor this because it's all so ask Father, we just thank you. Lord, we truly believe with all our hearts you are leading us into greater things. Lord, we're going to do a greater job reaching our valley than ever before. Lord, we're going to reach out in a greater way and touch the lives of people in the villages, the small communities around our state, and to see people there, and to see ministry go forth, Lord, in the far-reaching part of the world. So, Lord, I need to continue to build your church here, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we declare that this church body is going to be faithful to you, and be obedient to you. And Lord, we just welcome your presence above us. We gather together in this auditorium, that the glory of God would fall in this place. Lord, that people would walk in and they would sense the manifest presence of God. I pray that we worship, Lord, that people would be saved and healed and set free, Lord, even before the word is preached. I pray that your word would be preached in the demonstration of your Holy Spirit and power every time. Lord, I just pray for that anointing upon Mitch and Jasper, rest on them. Lord, they would look to you and just be obedient to you and follow you, Lord, that this church will follow them as they do. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for more people to be saved in this church than we've ever seen before. I pray people be saved every Sunday. I pray people be saved every Sunday. Lord, I pray people to be set free. People would walk in this auditorium of Jesus and just bring their hearts and lives to you. Lord, that you would set them free from drugs, not from immorality, bitterness, unforgiveness. Lord, we would set them free over the church and over the valley in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your word would only be preached. Lord, never let anyone in the pulpit that's going to be preaching anything contrary your mighty word. Lord, we just believe you for great things. We ask for strength and help to help us. For Jasper and Mitch, we ask you, Lord, give them dreams in the night from you. Lord, stir their hearts. Lord, help them recognize that the mantle that's being placed upon them, this appointment being placed upon them, Lord, and the promise being passed. Lord, this is a great responsibility that the Lord have appointed them, and you will strengthen them. You will give them godly wisdom and direction. And Lord, you will anoint them with a great anointing for this time. Lord, I pray that you would lay hands on the sick and see them healed. I pray that they would lead people, more people to Jesus than ever before. And Lord, you would pray with people and see you set them free. Lord, we just ask you for great things because of the promise of your word. We receive it. Lord, we bless you. We bless you. We bless your church family. Lord, we just surrender all of that to you. Lord, let us be all ought to be. And we ask it in Jesus' glorious and mighty name. Amen. Amen. You would stand with me. Thank everyone for coming today. I know that most of you came because I know you came to the church.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.